This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the summer solstice, and that means we've already put half of 2023 in the books. Can't believe how quickly the year has gone by so far. And that means it's time to hit up several of our regular guests for a forecast for the second half of the year. We'll get a variety of opinions here. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Games. All right, it's time to take a look at the second half of 2023. I've done this lightning round type of thing in the past and totally love it. It's great getting a variety of opinions. We're going to bring on some of our regular guests to give us their year-end forecast. And first up, Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director at Clearstead Advisors in New York. All right. I can't believe we're already talking about a forecast for the second half of the year, but that's where we're at, and that's where I want you to start, Jim. How do you see markets shaping up in the second half of 2023?
I think basically we're in good shape. What we're learning is that the economy has been able to adjust to higher interest rates and tighter credit conditions due to three bank failures. So what you're going to see is expectations for a possible recession diminish, for the extent and severity of the recession to diminish, and therefore the outlook for corporate profits to increase. And therefore, if we're at a peak in interest rates or close to a peak in interest rates, and the economy stays in a positive growth mode, that means that the expectations for profits will increase, and the expectations for stock prices should increase.
Do you think the consumer is going to hold up? I know they've been going through a lot of their savings as they're seeing higher prices. Any concerns with the consumer or any other factor that would maybe be of concern?
Right, absolutely. So what do we worry about? We worry about that you've had a 500 basis point increase in interest rates, and it hasn't had an effect so far, and all of a sudden it has an effect that we didn't realize it, but the consumer is going to pull back dramatically, or that for some reason credit conditions tighten dramatically, or that there's a geopolitical event. That's what we have to look for. But right now, as you and I are speaking, jobs are being created and consumers are spending. And you're having sort of rolling corrections in consumer spending. They've stopped spending on goods and durables, and they're spending on experiences. So as long as you see that payrolls continue to grow and incomes continue to grow and unemployment does not increase significantly, then you know the economy is going to power through the increases in interest rates.
And lastly, Jim, what areas of the stock market do you see best poised to have a really solid second half of the year? And are there any sectors catching your eye right now?
Well, yes. In the long run, you want to stick with the growth companies, the artificial intelligence companies, the technology companies. That's where you're going to make money over the next year or two. But in the short term, The equal weighted S&P, which takes out the 9 or 10 biggest stocks that have done the best so far this year, I think you're going to get catch up. So I think you'll get catch up in medium cap, small cap, value, and the non tech leaders in the short term. But in the long term, you want to own the tech leaders.
And then from our conversation today, what's the ultimate takeaway for our audience?
The markets have escaped the doom and fears of the pessimists, that you always win in equities in the long term, that you never bet against the U.S. economy in the long term. Keep your equities, but stay in quality. And you can have some money in 5% one-year paper also.
All right, a fairly bullish forecast for the second half of the year. Big thanks to Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director at Clearstead Advisors in New York. Next up, with his Blue World Economic Forecast, Matt Mategan, CEO, Blue World Asset Managers here in Chicago. Matt, you've done this before. We're looking for your second half of the year forecast. Lay it on us.
Well, I see reality catching up eventually, and I'll start by acknowledging that I've been beating this drum all spring and up to this point in the summer, but the reality is the Blue World Economic Index remains at record lows, and I mean lower than the mortgage crisis era, lower than the COVID era. The economy is really, really in a weak place right now. The Fed just announced a pause that wasn't, as I like to describe it. Yeah, we're going to hold rates level right now, but look for two more increases coming up, which, as you know, I've been critical of. And the markets just continue to rise. So anytime the markets are that untethered from economic reality, it's very, very precarious. It's a trapdoor waiting to spring. And one area in particular that I think could very well be the catalyst for bad things to happen is in the second half of July. We're going to start to get earnings reports from the regional and super regional banks, the KRE index components. And it is my prediction that their earnings are going to be deplorable. Their margins are going to be squeezed like we've never seen. And I think those earnings are going to be a really, really nasty surprise. So those mid and super mid-sized banks could very well be the thing to watch for. Now, I, like everybody else, I'm riding this wave for as long as it lasts. But using the metaphor I always use, my safety net is 5 feet under the wire right now, not 25 feet under the wire. That continues to be my outlook and my best advice.
And Matt, we've seen a handful of tech companies really lead the charge here, making up a bulk of the stock market gains for the year. Any concerns about the narrow leadership? And it seems to me like you see some potential hazards as we move forward.
That's absolutely what I think. Again, anytime the market performance becomes completely untethered from the true health of the underlying economy, and it doesn't matter if the economy is flying and the market's down and you're short, there are things you need to be concerned about. When the markets are up and the economy is down and you're long, there are things you need to be concerned about. And that is the situation that we find ourselves in right now. And a very, very small ripple is all it's going to take to shake confidence and move this thing in the other direction quickly. And the biggest thing to look for is when this happens, if this happens, it's not going to be a slow process. It's going to, you know, the old adage, bears jump out the window. And just be aware that when this happens in a material way, it could very easily start in the after-hours sessions and continue into the next day. And even if you're being careful, you could be caught on the wrong side if you don't have some appropriate defense in place.
And you always use that term, having the defense on the field, especially in situations like that. Matt, what does having the defense on the field look like?
Well, again, there are 100 different ways to have the defense on the field. Maybe that's going heavy bonds. Maybe that is having a few inverse ETFs sprinkled in there in and out over the course of days where you don't hold them long term, but maybe a day or two just to have some protection to the downside. Maybe that's a little bit more sophisticated, like having puts on the indexes. Maybe it's having some futures contracts. There are a whole lot of different ways that are very, very effective to hedge against a fast adverse move. And I don't care which one you're using. I just advocate right now that you use them and you use them more aggressively than you ordinarily would. Still ride the upside, like I said, but instead of having that safety net 25 feet below the wire, have it 5 feet below the wire, because when and if this happens, and I really do predict it, when it happens, it's not going to be a gradual process.
Matt taking a cautious tone here, and we'll take note. Big thanks to Matt Mategan, CEO, Blue World Asset Managers here in Chicago. More forecasts to come, but we got to take a quick break first. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday morning. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back with more forecasts for the second half of 2023. Next up, Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital here in Chicago. Jack, what do you think about the second half of the year for stocks?
I'm pretty optimistic, actually. I think the Fed is pretty much done. They paused in their June meeting. Yes, they've said that they want to raise rates maybe one or two more times. I suspect that if inflation keeps trending the way it's going, they may have to raise rates one more time, but I think that they're pretty close to being done. And as a result of that, perhaps the economy ends up doing better than a lot of economists have feared.
And how does that translate to the stock market? And are there any areas in particular that you have high hopes, as in the back end of the year?
Sure. So In terms of the stock market, I would say the S&P is pretty much at our year-end target already. So there isn't a lot of huge opportunity in the S&P, at least because it's fueled by, you know, the top seven names in that index. So from the S&P perspective, I'd say probably a better opportunity for the average stock than for the mega caps that have been leading the charge higher. Where we see most opportunity is really in international, and that's really driven by two factors. One, relative valuations are much cheaper internationally for even for the outlook that they have, and it's not just all about you know, Europe and the bordering Ukraine. I mean, Japan is a big component, and that economy is really brightening up. But it also has to do with the currency. And the, our view is once the Fed appears to be done, we expect that the U.S. dollar will start to weaken relative to foreign currencies. It's already pretty expensive, actually, by historical standards. And once that weakens, that'll be a tailwind for international equities. That, combined with the relative valuation, I think international will lead the market higher in the second half of the year.
You've made calls on international stocks in the past, and they've come through each time we've talked about them. How are you getting exposure? What's your advice as far as getting exposure? And are there any areas globally that you really, really like? Or is it a broader exposure? Are you doing like an ETF? How are you getting exposure to all of this?
Sure. I would recommend an ETF. Just for international exposure. I think the ticker is IEFA to get broad international exposure. But we are particularly interested in Japan. Japan in particular is relatively cheap, but its currency, the yen, is remarkably cheap. And so all you really need is one of those two pieces to move back to fair value. And you can, you know, hit a single or double in the Japanese market. And that ticker symbol is EWJ for a Japan exposure.
And then as we wrap up, I know you're loving international right now, specifically Japan in a big way. As we wrap up our conversation here, what do you want to leave the Gains listener with? What's the takeaway here, Jack?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think the economy ends up better than a lot of economists fear, and largely because, you know, the Fed probably stays put. They may not have to raise rates as dramatically as they're threatening. And that's because inflation's coming down a lot faster than they had feared. So I think all of that put together means that, you know, the general direction of equities is higher, but I will say I'm going to lean toward international on a weaker dollar.
So Jack says get that international exposure, and I agree with him. And finally, we can't talk about the second half of the year without discussing the Dow Theory with Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. He's also author of the book Winning with the Dow's Losers. Check out his website, upsidestocks.com. Chuck, we'll get your forecast in just a second, but let's start with the Dow Theory. That's what we always talk about. The Dow Theory right now is still bearish, but it's gotten close to some key levels, and that's where I want you to start, Chuck.
You're right, Andy. While the market, the tenor of the market has been much improved here, we're still shy of those points that we need the Dow Industrials and Dow Jones Transportation Average to surpass. And until they do, and in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, that level is the late November high of 34,589.77. That's 34,589.77. And in the Dow Transports, it's the early February level of 15,640.70. That's 15,640.70. Until we get closes in both of the averages above those levels, the primary trend under the Dow Theory will still be bearish. Now, you know, just to put color on that, just because it's, quote, bearish doesn't necessarily imply that the market is you know, is going to heck in a handbasket, but it does imply that without a move, a close above those two levels, it's going to be very difficult for the market to sustain a significant upward move in the market.
And then as far as the second half of the year, if we break through those hurdles, things get kind of really bullish. And is there any areas that you like in particular as well?
Yeah, I think if you do see a breakout above those levels, I think you'll see it being driven by a couple of sectors. I think technology would be leading the way. That has been, for the most part, a pretty good sector so far this year. But I think in a strong up move, you'll see that pick up. And the other area that I think you'll see pick up is quite two areas would be one would be small caps, which have been lagging this year, but I think that would give them an opportunity to really pick up the speed. And I think on the international side, I think you'd see international equities improve as well. Again, those latter areas tend to kind of migrate toward the value end of the spectrum. But I do believe if we do get a bona fide bull market signal that, again, some of the current leaders like technology will do well. But I would look for small mid-cap stocks and international stocks to pick up the pace as well.
What if, and I say what if, we see a breakdown in the markets and, you know, they retest some of those lower levels, then what's the situation?
Well, I think situation there, and again, those lower levels would be on the Dow Industrials, that's 28,725.51. And on the Dow Transports, and this is probably the most significant level, which would be 11,999.40, so basically 12,000. You know, if you see those levels break down, especially the Dow Transports, that would be an indication that, you know, the economic recession is going to be a thing, and it's probably going to be an ugly thing. So, you know, the downside, if in fact this market is going to break those lows, it's going to be driven, as it usually is, by, you know, earnings declines, and those earnings declines are probably going to be driven by a recession. So I think a more likely scenario, quite frankly, and this would not surprise me for the second half of the year, is that we fail in the near term for both the Dow Jones Transportation Average and Dow Industrials to close above those new levels, but the market kind of recedes but remains in this trading range that's really been established for the last 9 months, basically, maybe even longer than that, where it kind of meanders around, you know, in the case of the transports, between 12,000 and, say, 15,600, and in the case of the industrials, between, say, 29,000 and 35,000, we meander around in that level. That would not be a shock to me that we kind of see a bit of a pullback back into that trading range. But ultimately, we'll let the market tell the story, as we usually do.
And then what's your takeaway? What do you want the Gaines listener to take away from our conversation today?
Well, if in fact the market is going to be dangerous on the downside, that danger is going to be driven by an economy that's going into recession. And the best indicator to give you some lead time, so to speak, on an economic recession is the Dow Jones Transportation Average. So the movement of the Dow Jones Transportation Average, again, which is an index a lot of people don't follow, and they should, is really, I think, going to tell the story ultimately for whether this market can sustain a broad upward move, and that would be a close above that 15,640 level, or if we're going into a much more dangerous market period and possibly a severe economic recession, would be a decline in the Dow Transports below that 12,000 level. That would be the index that I think is the most worth watching right now.
And of course, that's Chuck Carlson, CEO of Verizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. Check out his website, upsidestocks.com. So there you go, a variety of different takes and investment ideas for the back end of this year. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gaines episode drops. We'll be back next Wednesday, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.